Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's been just being in this place. It's always a blessing when you come to the house of the Lord with expectations that God meets. Amen. We ought to expect to meet with the Lord here and to sense His presence and to receive a blessing from being in church. And I trust that you've already received that tonight. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Elijah. Elijah, one of the most powerful prophets recorded in the Scriptures. I mean, just a powerful, powerful prophet. We find there was much said about Elijah in the New Testament. Elijah actually appears in the New Testament at with Christ and Moses at Christ. Yes. And I believe he's also going to appear, not only at the Transfiguration, and that word, I couldn't think it in my mind there. I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but the Transfiguration, but then also in the book of Revelation. And I believe he'll be one of the two witnesses there in the tribulation time that'll be on the earth. And so Elijah is a powerful prophet of God. The Bible says much about it. God has recorded to us some of the events in the life of Elijah. And so we've been studying the man Elijah and his life and been learning some biblical principles from that. I trust it has been a help and a blessing to you. Here in 2 Kings chapter 2, now we've been in this particular passage of Scripture here for 2 weeks and looking at what God had planned for Elijah. This is Elijah's last hours. He knows it, Elisha knows it, and the sons of the prophet know it. And so if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read here chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 down through verse 8. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church, what we've already experienced being here. But now as we look into this passage of Scripture and we're studying in this life of one of your great servants, Elijah, Lord, you've recorded this so that we would learn from it. And I just pray that we would not only understand the story and the history, but we would understand the biblical principles that we can apply to our lives even today. Meet with us now, blessed in this study, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Elijah's last hours. Again, as you read this, you find that Elijah knew it. He didn't understand, I don't think, exactly what going up in a whirlwind would be like. I don't know just what his understanding was, but he knew that this would be the last his last hours on this planet. Elisha knew that, and somehow we know that Elisha knew that he needed to stay close to his leader, the one that was mentoring him, the one that he would be looking to replace as a prophet in the land. And so he knew that he had to stay close to Elijah. So Elijah tested him several times and telling him, stay put. You know, because he knew that Elisha would have to make those decisions on his own after he was gone. And so he was testing him to see if he would make the decision to go ahead and do what God would have them to do and follow Elijah wherever he went. And so he didn't make it easy on him. He told him, "You stay here. The Lord's called me. I'm going." And Elisha said, "No, if you're going, I'm going." And so we studied that. We've looked at that. And then the sons of the prophets were there. And they were to observe on what was taking place. So God was at work in preparing Elijah for his departure. Every place that God would lead him, and we're going to see more of that as we get into the message tonight, was to help prepare Elijah for his homegoing, for his departure. God was leading Elijah to prepare Elisha so he would be ready to take over, as he knew that he would be the next prophet in the land. He knew that Elijah was going to be taken and he would be the one to carry on, to carry the mantle, if you will, the torch. And then the sons of the prophets, they were there to observe for future ministry. The sons of the prophets were those that were in Bible college, if you will. They were in training to be able to serve God as a prophet of the Lord. And so the sons of the prophets, they were there. And through this, they were to experience the things that would help them for future ministry. Now, Elijah was following God's leading. That was the key to all of it. If Elijah was not following God's leading, he could not have prepared himself for what he was to face. He would not have been able to mentor Elisha, nor would he have been able to prepare the sons of the prophets. So it was very important that Elijah was following God's lead. And can I tell you, and we've studied this, is very important. The most important thing in our lives is that we follow God's leading. If you believe in God, and I trust you do, that's why you're here on a Wednesday night, and this is why you opened the Bible, you brought your Bible with you to study. You want to know, you want to have a better understanding of God. You want to be able to draw closer to Him and understanding His will for your lives. And then once you understand it, you want to commit yourself to doing that and to being the person that God wants you to be, because there's not a better place to be than in the center of God's will. No matter what you are getting ready to experience, the closer you are to leaving this world, the closer you need to get to God. Because He's the only one that's going to take the fear of dying away. He's the only one that's going to give you a peace that passeth all understanding. He's the only one that can help you in your dying, in your last days. Get closer to God. The people get into their seniors and they say, "Well, we're just going to go on vacation. And if it works out, I'm going to go to church. If it works out, I'll read." Listen to me. Hopefully that's not how you lived your life. That definitely should not be how you end your life. God is much more important than that. And if you're going to be all that you can be and have the blessings associated with whatever you're going through, you've got to walk with God. You've got to do what God would have you to do, no matter what age. In the center of God's will, no matter what age, no matter what's taking place, you're getting ready to die, whether you're getting ready to take over for somebody else, getting ready to start a ministry, whatever it might be, being in God's will. Letting God lead you. That's what we're looking at here tonight, because we find that Elijah was following God's leading. Verse 2, the first thing we find here, it says, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." God led him to Bethel. We preached on that. We studied that. "The Lord has sent me to Bethel." Bethel is the house of God. It's where God met with Jacob. God committed to Jacob. Jacob committed to God. Sometimes we have to go back to Bethel. Sometimes we have to go back to Bethel, remember salvation. Sometimes we have to go back and say, "Wait a minute, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, and so I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to live that kind of lifestyle, I'm not going to go there." Why? Because I'm a saved man, I'm a saved woman. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves, you're a born-again believer. You're supposed to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. It's important for you. The world needs a testimony of genuine Christianity. Oh, how we need to remind ourselves of that. And as you remind yourself of that, not only will it be the best thing for you to keep you from going in the direction of sin, but it will keep you having a testimony that will help others that are looking to you. So he took him back to Bethel. It helped Elijah. Because Elijah remembered the significance of Bethel. It's where God committed to Jacob and Jacob committed to God. And I guarantee you, Elijah remembered when he committed to God and God committed to him, the ministry of the prophet. And then we find in verse 4, the Bible says, and Elisha goes on and says, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Symbolic of Jericho. A place of victory when we make faith-based decisions. Going into the promised land. When Moses took the people there, they did not make faith-based decisions. 10 of the 12 didn't have faith. They convinced the people that they couldn't take the promised land. They went back out into the wilderness and died in the wilderness after 40 years of wilderness wanderings. But then if you look at the victory in Jericho, under Joshua, made a faith-based decision, we're going in. And when you make faith-based decisions, you can experience the victory. Don't expect victory in your life if you're not making faith-based decisions. It would have helped Elijah to be in Jericho to remember what happened here and the victory. And understand, if as long as I'm doing what God tells me to do, I'm gonna get the victory even over death. Amen? I'm going to get the victory. Best thing for Elisha to have remembered. There's victory in making faith-based decisions. Best thing for the sons of the prophets to realize. There's victory in faith-based decisions. Yeah. So now tonight, the final destination. The final destination. Now that was just a little bit of review, amen? maybe a little bit more than that, but at least that's what we've been looking at. Now we're looking at here the final destination in verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee. He did that. He said, he was preparing Elisha. Listen to me. At some point, if you're going to take over the leadership of a home, at some point, if you're going to become a husband, if you're going to become a wife, going to become parents, if you're going to have a Sunday school class, if you're going to have some kind of a position of service, you're going to have to learn to start making right decisions. There's not always going to be there. If you're leading, there's not always going to be somebody there that you can follow because you are been given a position of leadership. And so he didn't make it easy on Elisha because he knew he was going to be gone. Elisha, you're going to have to learn to make these decisions on your own. I know it's God's will for me. I'm going to Jordan. You can stay here if you like. Go ahead and sleep in. Amen. Elisha said, no, if you're going, I'm going. Because that's God's will for my life too, and to follow you, to gain all that I can gain from your testimony, from your leadership. He knew what God's plan was for his life. So final destination. Lord has sent me to Jordan. The Jordan River. The Jordan River was symbolic. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. They would need to know this. This is a remembrance. This is something that would help them. God planned it. God was saying, I want you to go here because there's purpose in going here. I want you to remember everything that's symbolic of this area, symbolic of Bethel, symbolic of Jericho. And I want you to understand what's symbolic of the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 1. Now, it's really something, as you study this, there's a lot of similarities between Moses and Elijah. Again, I think that's why those are going to be the two witnesses in the tribulation period. We're not going there, but you've seen the two of them at the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses went up against the king to tell him that he was going to let God's people go. Elijah went up against King Ahab and told him, God will judge you. Amen? You're leading God's people in the wrong direction. And he stood up against Ahab. God was working both of these in their lives. Moses comes to the end of his life and has to pass the mantle on to Joshua. Elijah comes to the end of his life and he's passing the mantle on to Elisha. A lot of similarities. There's many more, but that's just understanding this. So he takes him, this would be the last destination before we find Elijah going up in a whirlwind. Next Wednesday night, we'll look at the whirlwind experience there. It's going to be a great message here. But Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, God speaks to Joshua at Jordan. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. In passing the torch from Moses to Joshua, everyone needed to witness God's hand upon the new leader. And Joshua would have needed to know that God was enabling him. God's promise to Joshua, passing the mantle, passing the torch. God says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. So now they're at the Jordan. And this is what's symbolic, because they would remember this. And Elijah sees himself as Moses getting ready to pass the mantle. And Elisha sees himself as Joshua getting ready to receive the mantle. And understanding that it really is not Elijah, but it's the God of Elijah. It really wasn't Moses, but it was the God of Moses. And the God of Moses said to Joshua, I'll be with you. And you'll be able to do the very same things that Moses did. And now we find at Jordan, this is all coming back to them as they remember this. And God is telling Elisha the very same thing, that as I was with Elijah, so will I be with you, as he passes his mantle to you. Can I tell you, we need to visit the Jordan. Because we have been passed the baton in our generation. Been passed down for some 2,000 years now. Since Christ started the church, he established the church to reach the world. He established the church to stand for the truths of God. He established the church to have the doctrines of Christ, a fulfillment of the Old Testament law. Christianity is to be the doctrine that we look to. It's what God has established, not only for America, but for the entire world. It's Christianity that God so loved the world, so that the whole world could have this available to them if they would just believe. And he would say in Matthew 28, verse 18, lo, I am with you always. What did God say to Joshua concerning Moses? As I was with him, I'll be with you. What did Elisha need to hear? As I was with Elijah, I'll be with you. What do we need to hear? As he has been with 2,000 years of Christianity, 2,000 years of church plants and souls being saved and revivals being seen across the world, as I was with every generation I'll be with you. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Amen. Everybody following me tonight? Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm glad that he took him. God knew what it would bring back to memory. He knew how it would impact Elijah. He knew how it would impact Elisha. And he knew how it would impact the sons of the prophets, who now there's about 50 of them, and they're just standing there watching what's taking place between these two great men of God getting ready to pass the mantle. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. I love this verse. These verses. Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's exactly what Elisha needed to hear. That's exactly what Elisha needed to have confirmed in his own heart. Even though Elijah's leaving, God's going to call him on to glory. I can have that very same promise. Yeah. Because he's passing his mantle down to me. And not only that, go back with me now. Let's go back to Joshua. Because that's what he said. Now, they're at Jordan, remember? And so they're at Jordan. And at Jordan there, Joshua chapter 3. I want you to go to Joshua chapter 3. Because after God reveals this to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Now they come to the Jordan. Joshua chapter 3, verse 7. Because now they want need to see, the people need to see evidence of God's hand upon Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua, verse 7, chapter 3 of Joshua, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I'm going to start magnifying you so that they can see that you have the power of God upon your life. Drop down to verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they had that bear the ark were come into unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It was in the time of harvest. I mean, the river that was flowing, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city, Adam, that is besides Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. God says, I'm going to point the people to you. I'm going to let them see the hand of God upon your life. Wow. Several years ago, I've been pastoring the church here for 31 years. Started the church 31 years ago. But in the beginning, it was a co-pastor situation. My brother that I was working for up in Frankfort, Indiana, had the desire to start a satellite church here in Indianapolis. And so together, we established the Lighthouse Baptist Church in a storefront just about 3 miles from here, upstairs unit. We just come through anniversary. I think most of us here know about that. And we were there for a year in the upstairs somewhat unit. We almost called this church the Upstairs Baptist Church, but we knew that we would not always, we hope we would not always be in that upstairs unit. Matter of fact, after about a year, we started losing attendance because we couldn't find property. We had done everything. My brother came to me and said, I think the Lord will have us shut the work down, move everything back to Frankfort. And I said, well, if that's what you want to do, I said, but I know God's called me into the pastorate at this point, which was amazing. I never thought I'd be a pastor. I thought I'd be in youth ministry the rest of my life. That's all I had prepared for is youth ministry. That's what I focused on. But God has a way of, never say never, amen? And God has a way of turning things around. But I knew that through that year that I had been preaching every Sunday, either in Lighthouse here, because we had two churches going at the same time, and I would preach here while he was in Frankfort, then I would go to Frankfort and he'd come here, and we just rotated back and forth. We went on for over a year. I had the youth on Wednesday night in Frankfort and Thursday night here, and just all sorts of different things going on. But nothing. And he said, you know, I believe that's what God would have us to do. He said, it all makes sense now. I said, you've been pastoring here. You've been the one overseeing things here. Let's just turn it over to the people, let them vote. It was a unanimous decision except for one, and that was my other brother, Mike. He couldn't sit underneath his younger brother thinking I would be his pastor. And so he was the only one. Outside of that, then everyone, later on, he come back in this church right before he died of a brain aneurysm. He became a member of this church once again. But we find that during that time, I remember saying, God, they've called me, but they don't have confidence in me. I remember laying on my face in my office upstairs praying on a Saturday night saying, God, in order for them to follow me as a pastor, they've got to see your hand upon my life. Give us a building. We're at this property, we're in these buildings right here because God is faithful. Right after I prayed that prayer is when all the other things happened and God opened up this building. And within just about 6 weeks, we were actually in our own facility, in our own building. And after we got in that little bitty building, we started building. Evidence of God's power. If you're a leader, you need the evidence of God's power upon your life. It starts with a powerful prayer life. It starts and ends with a powerful prayer life. Getting your prayers answered. Having the strength to be all that God would have you to be. Being able to be a help to others. That's what ministry is all about. Evidence of God's power. Can I tell you today, you can have the evidence of God's power in your, upon your life. For whatever you're called to do, you need that. Joshua needed that, and the people that were following Joshua needed that. Elijah would need that, and we're going to see this even more next lesson. Elijah would need this, but the people following Elijah would need to see that as well. Romans chapter 8 today. Today that's what we need. Fathers need to have that. You need to know that God's hand is upon your life to be all that you can be as a leader of your home. Man of the house, the head of the wife. If you have to tell her you're the head, you're not the head. Amen. You have to scream and yell and demand that everybody obey you, you're not the head. No, when you lead by example and they follow, that shows you're the head. When you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When you love your family like God loves us, they'll see God working in your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You need to know you have the Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of you. And then others need to be able to see it. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Joshua needed to know that, and the people needed to know, see that God's hand was upon Joshua. Elisha needed to know that, and the people would need to see the power of God upon Elisha, and it's coming, it's there. And in our lives today, listen to me, we need the very same thing. You need to claim the promises of God, and then you need to understand that you have God's Spirit inside of you, and then others need to see God's Spirit working through you. So we can be all God would have us to be. God's Spirit working through God's messengers will always point to the Scriptures. Always. Not point to your wanting to do it your way. Not pointing to something to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But God's Spirit will always lead God's messengers and God's leaders to point to the Scriptures for leadership. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Almost finished here, so hang on. John chapter 14. Verse 16 and 17. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Then verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." That's the Bible. That's the words of God. That's the Bible. That's the New Testament Scriptures that we have right here. That's Christianity. Wow. So, Jordan would bring all this back to mind. Going to Jordan would be helpful for Elijah to remember. Be helpful for Elisha to remember. And it'd be helpful for the sons of the prophets to remember. For Elijah, he would know that this was his final act. Now go back with me to our text in 2 Kings. Elijah knew this was it. This is the last destination. The day's about over. And he knew that whirlwind's coming. If somebody told you, and you knew it was from God, that this is the last day that you would spend on this earth, what would that day be? Would you go to a remembrance of Bethel? Make sure that you're saved. Would you go to remembrance of Jericho to remember victories? And would you end the day, a final destination, at a Jordan River? Knowing that you're passing the torch on? It was the last and final act for Elijah, but for Elisha and the others, life would go on. If the rapture doesn't take place, all of us are going to die, and we're going to leave a testimony for those following. He was following God's instructions, and he would ask Elisha, knowing this was the last, what he needed. See in that verse 9 right there, first part of it, it says, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. It's right after he parted the waters, him and Elisha went across. Now, remember, the sons of the prophets are watching. They're over there saying, did you see that? Elijah and Elisha now. Elijah knows this is, I'm getting ready to go. You're the next leader. The sons of the prophets are going to look to you. Israel is going to look to you. All of God's people are going to look to you. What do you need? What's the last thing I can do for you? We're going to see the answer to that next week, but how are we preparing others for what's ahead? That's what I want to leave you with tonight. How are we preparing others for what's ahead? Many would say, well, the most important thing is being financially secure. Making sure that if I die, my wife's financially taken care of, the kids are financially taken care of. And I'm saying that's important. That's not most important. Well, I've instilled character in my family. I think it's important to instill character, work ethics, moral behavior. That's not the most important. Most importantly, do they know God? You cannot do anything more important than helping those that are looking to you know your God. What's most important in living life is to know that there is a God. It's a problem with our society today. It's a problem with America today because they really don't believe there is a God because they've been taught in school that creation is a myth, that evolution is a fact. What's that? You want to know what it's doing to the minds of our young people? Look at the condition of our young people today. Look at the condition of those that have been raised with that kind of teaching in public schools today. That's what's wrong with our country. They really don't believe in God. Even those politicians and everyone else there that want to use God when it benefits them, but they truly don't believe in the God of the Bible. They allow religion because it's for weak-minded people who need a crutch in their minds. They truly do not know the God of all creation. What's most important in living life is to know that there is a God because that gives us purpose. That gives us hope. And that gives us help. Someone to turn to, no matter what your situation, because God's grace is available to all that look for it. He will give us grace to help in our time of need. That's what's most important. It's what's most important to live life knowing that there is a God, but even more important than that, it's what's most important when we face death. I've been at the bedside of those that had no hope of eternal life. It's never a pretty picture. I've been at the bedside of those that have known Jesus Christ with a smile on their face, and they say, I'm ready to go. Because I know where I'm going. And my eyes are going to close in death, but I'm going to open them up and see face to face my Savior. Wow. We can know The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, we'll not turn there, you know the verses. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. And these things are written that we might know that we have this everlasting life. The most important thing you can pass on to those who will live after you're gone is a knowledge of your God. Amen. The final hours of the life of Elijah. It's what we would need to remember. It's what we would want to pass on to those who will live after we're gone. There is a God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. From Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan River. No better place to think about right before you pass on out of this life than the Jordan River. God revealing himself. I don't know how God might have used this message in your life tonight. Invitation, we're not going to have a musical invitation. There's an invitation going on right now. If God spoke to you, you need to come. We invite you to come to the altar. If you need someone to pray with, there'll be somebody here that can take a Bible and share with you what the Bible says about whatever you're facing tonight. Keep yourself in the center of God's will. It's the best thing for you, for whatever you have to face. And it will be the best thing for those that you have influence over. Follow God's leading. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this story and this account of Elijah. Lord, what a powerful prophet and what a powerful example to us. And I just pray that we would learn from this, be helped by this. As we get ready to leave now, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.